fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. A brand new broadcast week kicks off on this, the 13th day of March, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that is where you go. If you, for instance, would like to participate in the madcap multimedia real-time wacky zany extravaganza that is The Horn chat room live during the time that this program is live, i.e. from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm waiting to see. Oh, that's weird. Okay. I'm kind of waiting to get into the chat room myself. Maybe it's a tired old computer. Hopefully it's nothing Java-related. I'm really not up for a Java fight this evening. It's kind of wet and messy, those Java fights. Java. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. And yes, this is The Horn. And yes, we are a listener-supported, independent, not beholden to no corporate interest, no how, no way, no where, radio operation on the interweb tubes. Mm-hmm. We try to raise $200 every evening of the broadcast so as to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Because there's no advertising. There just isn't. So hopefully we will continue to do that. We're going to try to raise $200 this evening. We're actually, thanks to a series of challenges on Friday on the front porch, we are into Monday's fundraising, which means that we're out a little bit ahead of the game. But let's go ahead and try to raise $200, because sooner or later we're going to have one of those evenings when we lay a goose egg. And, well, I mean, because they happen. And then we'll be, you know, back to even or even behind all over again. If you go to headonradionetwork.com and if you click on chat room and you pick out a screen name and a password, you will be met by Anatole, Jug of Punch, and Labor Man, and Soapbox Geezer, and Steve from Georgistan. And I'm sure that longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky will be along presently. Hopefully, yeah. So if you want to help keep the program going, then, and you know, we always welcome subscribers. Oh, yes, we do. We do welcome subscribers. Just click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. Paul from Parts Unknown did so just last Friday. So thank you very kindly, Paul. Subscriptions come on, subscriptions fall off. I guess some people, you know, get mad or something once in a while, but we'd still like to get up to 100 subscribers. Ultimately, the goal is 400 at $10 a piece. But we're not there yet, not by a long shot. So even if you don't want to become a subscriber, you don't have to tick the little box. Just put in whatever amount you want to, click the, and get through the process, get to the next page. It's always about getting to the next page. Get to the next screen. And you'll be helping keep independent, progressive broadcasting alive. Although, you know, to be fair, and I want to be fair, we need to understand that for some people, this program will never, ever, ever be progressive enough or ideologically pure enough to suit some folks. And, you know, I'm sorry for that, but it's... it's at least candid, and it is at least forthright, and most of the time, pretty doggone progressive. You're not going to catch me engaging in any, say, right-wing talking points. You'll not find me advocating for concealed carry or a gun in every classroom, or for that matter, a market-based, free market, capitalist, liberty-filled health care solution. You get the idea. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to, we really will. We will try to raise $200 this evening. And hopefully that will happen between now and 9 p.m. Thanks, as always, go out to our merry band of subscribers who do help make up shortfalls and have helped make up shortfalls. Many thanks indeed. And there he is. He has arrived. Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky has folded space to become Man Cave. I think we caught him between Space Station Sparky and Planet Man Cave. That's what happened. He was folding space even as I was speaking. Hey, Sparky. So it was kind of a busy little weekend. Yesterday was particularly busy. Here at about 8 p.m., 2 hours from now, over on MSNBC, my buddy Chris Hayes, his program, All In, they will be rerunning, or not rerunning, they will be running, it's never been seen before. They'll be running the town hall with Bernie Sanders that they had yesterday in Welch, or just outside Welch in McDowell County, West Virginia. Agnes and I went down for that. It was rather a hairy day for the staff. In fact, there was a possibility that I would have been driving Bernie back to the airport in Charleston, but they did manage to get that squared away, and so it wasn't necessary. But you know, I told him I'd be happy to. Where to begin? Well, if you bail out at 8 o'clock and you, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, mind you, and you watch the broadcast, you'll get a sense for what was going on. It was well attended. There were a lot of questions asked. People were very receptive to Bernie. And it wasn't an overtly political discussion. It was just a nuts and bolts factual discussion about issues that face McDowell County in particular, but that also, as Bernie noted frequently, had transferability to a whole heck of a lot of the country. Bandwidth and cell service, for instance, down there, because it when you get into that little corner of the Appalachians, it's all pretty much straight up and down. And so cell service and bandwidth are scarce, to say the least. So that was one of the topics. There was a great deal of time spent on issues touching upon health care and on whether or not coal can be brought back per the promises of the of Comrade Kumquat, the man who now is afraid to open his microwave lest he find Barack Obama staring at him from within its depths. No, really, that was a thing that happened today. Oh, yes. Kellyanne Conway, oh, my God, might be time to adjust her meds, declared that Barack Obama can spy on people all kinds of ways, including through the microwave. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. I just realized I'm so used to saying Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Daylight Time, babies! Yeah! Eastern Daylight Time as of Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Maybe I screwed that up because I'm still getting used to it. But yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Dave. It is Eastern Daylight Time and Central Daylight Time, and right, because we sprang forward. So... I appreciate the little nudge and the correction there. I really, really do. One of the problems that faces southern West Virginia is just getting there. I mean, really. It is... 80, and for those of you who live in civilization, just, you know, chew on this for a minute. It is 82 miles from my doorstep here at the mansion to downtown Welch, West Virginia. It takes 2 hours to get there. You've got four lane to Beckley that you can do in about 35 minutes. The other hour and 25 minutes are all meandering, wandering, two-lane road that under less economically anxious circumstances are also often populated by killer coal trucks. We were lucky yesterday because, in fact, it being a Sunday and a beautiful, if brisk, Sunday, high blue skies, it was as though we had the road to ourselves. And you just, it's amazing because, you know, you get off of the Turnpike and I-77, which are joined at that point, and you take off down a four-lane road that goes through some little suburbs to Beckley. Places like Crab Orchard and MacArthur. I've never checked to see if MacArthur has a park, or if it does, if there's a cake that got left out in the rain there. But you'd travel down that four lane through some West Virginia version of sprawl. And then it peters out, and you get on what's called the Coalfields Expressway, which is a lovely piece of highway, all 6 miles of it. And then it just ends. And you can see a dirt road extending beyond it, and you can see up beyond the dirt road where it has climbed a hill, and they've blasted through the hills to create the roadbed and everything. Only it ain't a road. It's an idea. It would probably take another 20 minutes to get to Welch if the Coalfields Expressway was done, but instead it takes another hour and a half of winding along twisting little roads and up over mountains and down and around and down till you run out of ground at the edge of Pineville, county seat to Wyoming County. Then you wander on along through Wyoming County for a little while until you get to McDowell County. And there's a certain haunting charm to a place like Welch. Because you can see that there has been prosperity there. That one little tiny West Virginia county was the third most populous county in West Virginia at one point, with a population of over 100,000 people. But the problem was that it was a house that was built upon shifting sand, or rather beds of coal. And when the coal played out, most of the folks up and left. And so now, in large part, Welch, West Virginia is a ghost town with everything but the tumbleweeds. There's barely enough room there for a town in the first place. It probably never should have been a town. A town was imposed upon it in 1893 by coal interests. It was surveyed by a formerly treasonous Confederate captain named Isaiah A. Welch. And it began to grow. The town itself never had more than 5,000 or 6,000 people in it, but there were little communities that sprung up around it. And now you can see those communities, places like Caples, just down the road, where the drop-off from the roadbed to the ground below is about 600-700 feet. And Caples has up behind it a massive mountaintop removal complex. And all around are burned-out, what we used to call, or what we a few years ago called crack houses, places that have been burnt, left to collapse and decay on their own. Couple of convenience stores. Here, you want to know how bad it is in Welch in McDowell County? This will tell you. Because this just doesn't happen. Walmart left. When Walmart leaves, you know you got a problem. And Walmart left. They closed down their high school. They built a consolidated countywide high school called Mount View on top of an abandoned toxic waste mountaintop removal site, and within breathing distance of the dust of another mountaintop removal site. If you get on Google Earth and you search Welch, W-E-L-C-H, West Virginia, and then you go out of town a little ways, you can zoom down and see the high school complex. And right next to it, you can see the mountaintop removal complex. And nothing grows up there. Nothing but scrub, brush. No water to speak of. I think it has to be tied into a public water supply. So that's where this all took place. And there were good points raised. I think there was some confusion in who was doing what. And that's somewhat understandable. And I'm going to say something now. Because you won't see any of this in the program. And I don't know who's listening. But apparently somebody who writes for Saturday Night Live is. The cold open. It was a scenario with an alien invasion. It featured Alec Baldwin doing his now world-famous Trump impression. But it featured something else. You know, whenever I talk about the aliens who are out there in space, you know, I've given them various and sundry attributes, but they almost always come from Norblap 9. Well, lo and behold, the aliens Saturday night on Saturday Night Live came from Zorblat 9. I'm sure it's strictly a coincidence. But anyway, I just thought I would share this because this isn't anything that anybody else is going to be talking about this evening. Give you an idea of what these events are like. It took a small army to put it on. I have profound respect for the production staff who do these kinds of things. I mean, they are pros in every sense of the word. It did my heart good to see that all the camera folks and the Best Boy Electric and the gaffers and all the technical people were good union folks, members of the Communication Workers of America. Yay, and good on them. And it was hard work. Good God. Those cameras are not light. And one of them was walking around with a steady cam, and it had a teleprompter attached to it, and ugh. But those were good union workers, and I was proud to see it, because they were all wearing their union T-shirts. So after a while, we were in the auditorium of the high school. And the auditorium of the high school had a big fresco on the wall of four guys standing in front of a coal mining complex. Obviously, it wasn't a mountaintop removal complex, because that's not sexy. That's just real. And underneath it just said Heritage. Newsflash: that area had some heritage before the coal industry came through. But they brought us all back to the green room, and there were some people who were simply going to be seated in the audience and come to for questions and comments. And then there were panel members. So they hauled us all back to the green room, which was fine. And I sat down with another one of my Coal River Mountain Watch colleagues. And this one woman came in just bawling and carrying on. And couldn't make hide in her hair of what it was she was carrying on about. The production staff tried to mollify her. Or ponerizer or something. Put her in the ponerizer. Ponerizer a little bit. That'll take care of it. But she sat there bawling and carrying on. I leaned over and looked at my colleague and I said, "What the hell is this about?" She said, "Take a little bit." And the next thing I knew, another person had come over and commenced to lay hands on her and pray over her. And I heard, you know, I was right there, and I couldn't help but hearing all about how they were going to pray for a victory in Jesus and you know, cast out the demons. At which point I said to myself, "Well, now, we are off to a running start. My, oh, my." Eventually, Bernie came walking in. I said, "Hey, Bernie." He said, "Hi, Bob." And the thing began to get organized. And so folks who were actually there from McDowell County went on the panel, and folks who were there to talk to Chris, talk to the panel, what have you, they went out and sat in assigned seats, and I was one of them, sat in assigned seats in the audience. And the program began. And there was some very, very, very telling information. There was an underground coal miner, young man, had his little baby girl. Just precious, absolutely adorable. And so he was a Trump voter. You'll see all this. I don't know how much you'll see. It's only an hour program, and they shot in blocks, and I'm sure some stuff's going to, oh, Lord, some stuff is going to get edited out. And they asked him about climate change. And I'm proud of myself. Because I didn't jump up out of my chair and start hooting and hollering and, you know, whoo, dude, Jesus, take me now. No, I didn't do that. Because he was asked about climate change. And he said, well, I figure climate's been changing as long as the world's been here. And after all, coal burning gives off CO2, and trees breathe CO2, trees eat that CO2, and they give it back to us as oxygen, and that's got to be good for us. Besides, it ain't just coal and gas and oil that gets burnt. Why, there's thousands and thousands of people all over the world smoke cigarettes. I tell you truly, I'm proud of my Zen restraint. Because I didn't jump up and start hollering, you darn that flag staggin' not pull Prazalak and Marksnarkin. I didn't. I really didn't. But that was hard to swallow. And there was no confrontation about it. It was just, you know, him speaking his truth. But it's the kind of truth that you get in your payday envelope on a slip that says, remember, you've got a job because climate change ain't real. I mean, I live here. I kind of know that kind of thing, what the sort of things that go on in that regard. And so, you will find there was profound information shared. A lot of talk about the opioid crisis. A lot of talk about health care. Bernie talking about what's going away. Others talking about what it'll mean when these godforsaken Republicans take away our ability to go to the doctor when we're sick or get life-saving surgery or things like that. And so, like I said, it was not live, so we shot it in blocks. And so they, and scene. And so they had to reset for the next panel. And a different group of panelists came out to talk about stuff. Including the science teacher who has become a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates as a Democrat who voted for Trump because Trump promised to bring back Coe. Again, just kind of sat there in my seat, all civilized-like. And then somewhere during that segment, they started talking about the opioid crisis, and all of a sudden, and everybody in the auditorium could hear it, all of a sudden you start hearing this god-awful commotion of bawling and caterwauling and screaming and shrieking and carrying on. Sound like somebody's being plumb kilt backstage. And at that point in time, I didn't get up, just kind of put my two little fingers on my forehead and my thumb on my cheek like that feller in that ad that, or in that meme that says, "Oh no, not this shit again." Or, you know, maybe Excedrin headache number 9,762,533.1978523. And lo and behold, and I knew. It was the same woman that had done got the hands of healing hands of faith laid on her in the green room. Because it is an immutable law of nature that in any situation involving a gathering of hillbillies, no matter how, that's the one, VT Blom just posted that guy in the chat room. That's the one. In any gathering of hillbillies, no matter how erudite, how intelligent, how well-behaved 99.9% of them are, there will always be one hillbilly to ruin it for everybody else and create a lasting impression of, you know, who and what we are. And so we got to the end of shooting that segment. And lo and behold, they brought her back out again to sit on the panel. Because that's what she was throwing a fit about. She hadn't gotten enough camera time. And so somebody else that was going to be on that panel got bumped because she threw, in the name of Jesus, a hissy. Did I mention that this woman has run for office as a Democrat down there? Yeah, really. Oh, I won't tell you that's not the truth. Brother Deacon Asa said, "Sure, you sat there gently and quietly, but your blood pressure must have been somewhere north of Caffle Club and Island," which I take is pretty damn far north in those parts. Yes, it was. And so they came back to her to give her some more camera time. At which point she launched into this speech about how hillbillies love their neighbor, but we ain't very good at loving of ourselves. And I got to tell you, it wasn't even in the same time zone with coherence. So if you watch, and it'll air twice, I think, tonight, and then you can find it again online. I'm guessing you won't hear the screaming. I'm guessing you darn sure won't see the laying on of hands that took place in the green room. Who? Dude, Jesus, Dill Harris. And the funny thing is, upon further reflection, I realized that she threw similar hissies last summer down at the West Virginia Democratic Convention until someone in the higher echelons of the party gave her a spot on the National Platform Committee. Just wow. Wow. And so in about 2 hours' time, it was all over and done with. I am sorry to say that there was never an opportunity for either me or my colleague from Cold River Mountain Watch to talk about mountaintop removal, or to talk about the fact that the event was being taped in one of, if not the single sickest congressional districts in the United States, because it is. And that you really can't talk about the healthcare crisis that West Virginians face without talking about the fact that people in southern West Virginia are being deliberately poisoned. And this is an important fact. Deliberately, systematically poisoned. As much as I despise them, if a pipeline leaks and people get poisoned, it's an accident. Pipeline's gonna leak, but the leaks are accidental. If a bomb train blows up, and bomb trains are gonna blow up, it's accidental. But in southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky and southwest Virginia, the poisoning is either deliberate or done with depraved indifference to what they're doing. And that makes a whopping big difference. It is not an accident that when the wind blows in the right direction, the young scholars up at Mount View High School have the poisons like silica dust and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons blown into their young scholarly lungs from a mountaintop removal site not 2 miles away. That is not an accident. When the great boiling dust clouds of a mountaintop removal blast that can be the equivalent of 25 cruise missiles landing on the same spot at the same time, when that dust goes boiling down the holler and a toddler playing in the yard breathes that poison and begins the process of dying, it is a deliberate act by everyone associated with that mining complex. From the executives of the coal company who reap tremendous profits and humongous salaries and stock options and bonuses, to the dust-covered dude who runs the drill that drills the holes into the sandstone, to the guy who packs in the explosives, to the guy who presses the button to make it all go boom. Every one of those acts are deliberate. And there aren't just a hell of a lot of places in the United States of America where such things are allowed to happen. And it did, in fact, make me sad. Not angry. I mean, it was a two-hour program. There's only so much. I mean, it was a one-hour program. Took 2 hours to tape. And there's only so much you can talk about. Especially when you got some friend of Jesus backstage bawling and caterwauling and doing everything short of screaming in tongues. But you really can't talk about why this place is as sick as it is and why McDowell County has the lowest life expectancy rate in the United States without talking about mountaintop removal. Again, when you go on Google Earth and you look for Welch WV, you'll see these scars on the landscape all around. And then some unnaturally barren green places, greenish places, that don't look like mountain anymore because they're not. They're reclaimed. And you will know that those are places where some of the 3 to 5 million pounds of high explosives used in West Virginia every damn day have been used in the past. And where, in fact, the toxins from those explosions have been breathed by people to tremendous and devastating health effects, negative health effects. We didn't get to any of that. And the larger pity about that is not that it didn't go out on the electric TV box, but rather the fact that people in West Virginia so seldom get an opportunity to hear the unvarnished and unfly-blown facts about what their friends of coal are doing to them. And that would have been one such opportunity. The young fellow with the underground coal mining job. He made a point to note that, yes, he had an underground coal mining job. Because he mines for what he called met coal, metallurgical coal. He wasn't one of those strip miners. And he seemed rather a remarkable fellow in some regards, because at the same time that he didn't know anything about climate change, and he did explain to us that he was just a coal miner, he wasn't a scientist. He did say that he would like for everybody, every citizen in the United States, he made a point of saying citizen, should have access to free health care. And he went on to say, I like mining coal, but he said, I do it because of the hospitalization benefits. And so do most of the other fellers. He was honest. So when it was all over, we packed it in. Went back down the mountaintop removal site. Went back through downtown Welch, which is if you go to Wikipedia and you look up Welch, West Virginia, there's a lovely photograph there of Welch, West Virginia in 1946. The sidewalks are filled with people. There's a pair of movie theaters. There's a pool room. There's a traffic jam. Cars parked on both sides of the street and a line of cars traveling through. Girls in bobby socks and saddle shoes. It was that time period. Men in chinos and short sleeve shirts and straw fedoras. And those, you know, those, that's a photograph that's repeated all over forgotten Appalachia. We got a little taste of prosperity, just a taste, before the coal ran out. And when the coal runs out, well, you know, screw you, buddy. And now there's a project afoot to try to build decent housing so they can get teachers to come and teach school in McDowell County. The local Rippy Mart has a warning on the window that says, if you are on our ban list and you have been previously banned and you set foot in this store, the police will be called and you will be arrested for trespassing. Hell, I don't even see signs like that around here. As we drove down and as we drove back, of course, we drove by the obligatory shacks flying the flag of treason, the Confederate flag. Gonna have that. And yeah, we slowed down and took a minute. There wasn't any cars behind us and just stopped right there in the middle of the street. Long enough to look straight up the hill at the McDowell County Courthouse. And remember what had transpired there. How a man who had stood up for working people was murdered in cold blood, Sid Hatfield. And how none of his murderers were ever punished, including one fellow by the name of C.E. Lively. Who to the end of his days said he was justified in putting a bullet through Ed Chambers' head that day because he was fighting communism, Bolshevism. And that's one of those Appalachian upsides. Some of us still remember things like that because they're worth remembering. So that was our day yesterday. We got home about 8:30 or so. The last little bits of daylight saving time, daylight fading into the west. We were tired and wore out and wasn't feeling my best. But along the way, I looked at Agnes and I said, you know, we need to go for more Sunday drives. There are fascinating Sunday drives to be taken all over Appalachia and West Virginia. History around every corner. Ideas to be sprung. And highways that peter out into a dirt road. Because, well, Appalachia is not worth a bunch of roads. Because, you know, it costs something like 7 times as much to build a road, a mile of road, here as it does in flat land. But we talk about economic development and things like that. There's not a lot of room for economic development in a place like McDowell County. But there are ways. I mean, with really kick-ass broadband, you can work in a place like McDowell and telecommute to God only knows New York City, right? So I thought I would share my day with you. It's a beautiful day. March is going to turn out to be a hell of a lot colder than February was. We're going to get down into the teens tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. But yesterday was a beautiful day to be out. Would have been a hell of a lot more of a booger if it had been raining. But we had a beautiful day. A little bit of mail rolling in. Jeremy wants to know, is this man you've spoken of directly related to the OG Hatfields and McCoys? He had a tangential relationship through like a great-grandfather to Devil Ants, but not that direct a line. There's Hatfields all over, and McCoys. There's Hatfields all over southern West Virginia, and McCoys all over eastern Kentucky. I know some of each. A good buddy of mine in the 8 campaign is a McCoy, and he is, in fact, one of them McCoys. Direct descendant. So we got that. I would be remiss, however, if I did not note along the way that it's More End Monday, and we got nominees. Oh, Jesus, we've got nominees. Note coming in from Michael in Madison. Hey, Bob. Not only were the SNL aliens from Zorblat 9, but Trump's inspiring plan to defeat the aliens was simply, we're going to bring back coal back. We're going to have so much coal, you're going to say, where did all the coal come from? I never knew there could be this much coal. I forgot about that part. Michael says the SNL writer, who is a Hornedanista, needs to out him or herself. Is it you? It ain't me. Might have health insurance if I would. Never mind. No, it's not me. But it's more and more. It's kind of hard to. It's kind of hard to ignore. Zorblat 9, Norblap 9. Bill Maher suggesting that Trump may really be Andy Kaufman after, you know, like 2 months after I said it. Maybe I'm just living in the future and it just trickles into the past. Or something. I'd get lost in that whole time travel thing. In regard to... because it's part of More End Monday, the whole Kellyanne Conway, Obama's spying on us through our microwaves business. Note coming in. I haven't actually caught Obama spying on me from my microwave. But the other day, he apparently left a post-it note for me on my kitchen counter asking for my spaghetti sauce recipe. Signed, Scott in the kitchen in San Diego and his little feathered pal, Chef Boyar Punky, the cooking cockatiel. And I hope that participial phrase means that Punky is assisting you in meal preparation and has not, in fact, become part of the meal itself. That he is, you know, but then you might have, Scott, you would have said fricasseeing or something like that. So, no, we'll take that in as hopeful a possibility as we can. Weather report from Vermont. Jeremy writes, speaking of weather, there was about a foot of snow here this time last month, then it was 70 here a week later, and all the snow was gone. The last 2 weeks have been brutal and cold, and tomorrow and Wednesday night we're expecting 12 to 18 inches of snow. Nope, no climate change here, and for fuck's sake, no CO2 is causing the strange weather. Oh, because the trees eat that. And besides, there's millions of smokers. You know what was particularly touching about that smoker comment was that it gives you an idea of the persistence of an idea. It gives you an appreciation for the persistence of an idea. Back when black lung was first discovered, the coal company, the scientists, the worker, everybody knew that it came from breathing coal dust. But what did the coal company say? That ain't no real disease. You don't get no black lung from being in the coal mines. All them people got black lungs is cigarette smokers, whether they smoke cigarettes or not. Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. Right. And it is with us to this day in one form or another. How interesting, though, that the coal industry was ahead of the curve in pointing to cigarettes as a source of lung disease when the tobacco industry was feverishly trying to point in the opposite direction and covering up its own research to say that cigarette smoking, that cigarette smoking was a cause of disease, but big tobacco put out statements, oh, it's perfectly healthy. Nine out of ten physicians who smoke Terryton. Right? We are at the top of the hour. It's about 2 minutes before 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And I will go ahead and announce that so far in fundraising this evening, we are at zero. Hopefully that will not remain so. You know the drill. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, contribute. I didn't mention the mailing address. It is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Give me a heads up if you're going to do that so I can tell Boss Man Wayne so he can leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck. Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, tells me, Obama wasn't looking at me through my microwave. However, a dark-skinned, semi-literate, itinerant rabbi and Palestinian day laborer was looking at me from atop my grilled cheese sandwich. Happens. Stephen, New York. So, being as how it is Moran Monday, let's get a Moran in before the break, shall we? And if you want a Moran, I mean, a real go-to Moran, you're never gonna go wrong by casting your gaze in the direction of representing Steve Cantaloupe's King of Iowegia. Sorry, sneeze. And so, I mean, this guy's pro. Don't try his level of moranity at home. You'll hurt your brains. This guy, he can't open his mouth without coming up with Moran Gold. And he's a big fan of the neo-fascist Geert Wilders over in the Netherlands. And so, tweeting, he took to the Twitter machine in support of Geert Wilders, fascist, and declared, "We can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies." Took me a minute just to try to parse through what exactly the holy that meant. I mean, any civilization is going to be perpetuated with somebody else's babies. I mean, humanity doesn't have a hive queen who just sits there and squirts eggs out of her ovipositor. Generation after generation after generation after generation. What he means is that we can't be Merca with little Muslim babies and little black babies and little Hispanic babies and. He is a sickening racist. And to the extent that he says that these nasty, vile, hateful, filthy things and doesn't get stone cold busted for them, and in fact keeps getting reelected, not despite them, but because of them, I'm not going to sit here and make a blanket statement that everybody in his district is an asshole, but there is, as I've noted, if you see an asshole in the Congress, he or she has to have been sent there by a whole bunch of assholes at home. So there are apparently a lot of assholes in his district in Iowa. And, of course, when he says something hateful like this, all, you know, any of these Trumpansy, oh, what am I looking for here? Yeah.
You dick!
Exactly. All the bookers at all the cable news shows go hog wild to get them on the air to say it some more. Because it's great for selling ads. And, you know, CNN is no different, so they got Steve King to come on their, oh, what was it, their New Day program with Chris Cuomo? Yeah. And, Steve King doesn't apologize for shit. He says more outrageous shit because it plays great with the assholes back home. You might want the hockey puck for this. Not saying, just saying. I mean, I know. Stop telling people how to listen to Steve King, Bob. I know. But you might want the hockey puck for this.
You wrote that Wilders understands that culture and demographics are our destiny. We cannot restore our civilization with somebody else's babies. This is being condemned by many regions of American politics and citizenry. What did you mean?
Well, of course, I meant exactly what I said, as it always is the case, Chris. And to expand on that a little further, I've been to Europe and I've spoken on this issue, and I've said the same thing as far as 10 years ago. to the German people and to any population of people that is a declining population that isn't willing to have enough babies to reproduce themselves. And I've said to them, you cannot rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies. You've got to keep your birth rate up, and that you need to teach your children your values. And in doing so, then you can grow your population and you can strengthen your culture. You can strengthen your way of life.
Because, you know, them little Muslim babies, they ain't got no values. Little Muslim babies and their Muslim parents, they don't share the same values as good white European parents do. No, they don't even follow Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, they don't need food or water nor shelter. All they need's their Sharia law and a hollering of Allahu Akbar, Aloha snack bar, or what the hell ever so often. Because they ain't got no values.
Who's somebody else's babies?
Chris, we're a country here that, you know, if you take a picture of what America looks like, you can do it in a football stadium or a basketball court, and you see all kinds of different Americans there. Mm. We're pretty proud of that the different-looking Americans that are still Americans. And there's an American culture, an American civilization. It's raised within these children.
No, there isn't. Please, except for art forms that were invented by African Americans, please find me an American culture. I mean, even the Virginia Reel wasn't American culture. How about blues and rock and roll? Yeah, right. The blues had a baby and they named it rock and roll. Well, how about American food culture? How about gullah cooking? And how about that Cajun cooking? Oh, wrong people. What we need is a New England boiled dinner. One of the raps on our country all along has been that, you know, we don't have much of a culture. Going down to the KFC and getting some kernel isn't culture. Yeah, we've written some plays. It ain't like Steve King's a big Eugene O'Neill fan, though. We've got our own literature, but I doubt if you're going to find Steve King reading Mark Twain's Letters to the Earth or From the Earth. Steve in New York. Point of order. May I slap him upside the head? Yeah, it depends on how hard you want to slap him. I mean, we don't want no little love taps. We want the spit to fly, Steve. And Steve King is not a member of the Fraternity of Steves, by God. American culture's instilled in us. Well, if that's the fucking case, then why do you have so many dumbass Southerners still flying that goddamn treason rag? That ain't American culture. Is the Klan American culture? Is neo-Nazism American culture? Yo, by the way, when he sent out the somebody else's babies tweet, David Duke immediately retweeted and said, yeah, Steve King gets it. You know, and there was no tweet from Steve King saying, get away from me, you filthy fucking Klansman. Steve King didn't run out and block David Duke. He's happy to have the retweet, right? You didn't put the hockey puck down, did you? I hope not.
These American homes. And that's one of the reasons why we require that the President of the United States be raised with an American experience.
I mean, because it seemed like you were doing the opposite. Like you were...
God damn! I mean, it's Moran Monday, but whoo, this is a master class in Moran. That's why we require that the American president be raised in an American home. That ain't nothing but birtherism. You know, that Barack Obama, he went to a madrasa in Indonesia. He's even admitted it. There is no such requirement. You can read the Constitution upside down, backwards, and seven different ways from Sunday, and you still will not find a requirement that, what was that again?
I mean, because it seemed like you were doing the opposite. Like you were trying to...
No.
In these American homes. And that's one of the reasons why we require that the President of the United States be raised with an American experience.
I mean,
yeah, right there. It's right there in Article 1, Section Bleen, Clause Vlornock. Just trying to toss things out there to see if the SNL writer will pick it up. The American president shall be raised in American experience home. Nope. Sorry.
Because it seemed like you were doing the opposite. Like you were trying to say someone else's babies means you're either white or you're not right. And as you know, that is anathema to what America's all about. Can we get a...
Don't say anathema. Say it's a nasty thing to say, Chris. Because you're talking to a nasty man.
Agreement on that.
Well, here's actually, if you go down the road a few generations or maybe centuries with the intermarriage, I'd like to see an America that's just so homogenous that we look a lot the same from that perspective. I think there's been far too much focus on race, especially in the last 8 years, and I want to see that put behind us, and I want to be...
Wait, what? There's been far too much focus on race, especially in the last 8 years, you know, since that one got into the White House. White House. Far too much emphasis on race. The only time there was any emphasis on race was when, is every time some police officer decides to blow away a black kid with a toy gun in his hand, or shoot a guy in the back, or choke him to death. Or gun them down in a stairwell. Or. I mean, can't we just stop talking about those people? But hundreds of generations down the road, if we're all kind of off coffee colored, that'll be all okay with Steve King because he won't have to see it.
It's bonded together. I gave a speech on this on Saturday, and half the liberals got up and left the room when I talked about
because
the
when
success
you say
and
when
unity
you suggest
and
to anybody,
the divisions.
But when
they're
you
looking
suggest,
for hatred, is the point, Chris?
But hold on a second, Congressman. If you suggest that somebody else's babies shouldn't be welcome in a country, you seem inherently divisive. That's why I keep asking you.
No, goddammit, inherently racist. Can you not say it, Chris?
What was your intention with this? And you keep to seem doubling down on it. I mean, you said America's got lots of different faces. That's fine. But you keep making this point that this country needs to be about white people raising their birth rate and not bringing in other people. That's exactly what America is not.
But Chris, I never have made that point. I've never said that. I've been characterized as saying that. I've had the blogs out there say I said that. But I tell them, go back and watch the tape. Listen to it. Just listen to the language. Our language is precise. That's not out there. This is an effort on the left, I think, to break down the American civilization and the American culture and turn it into something entirely different. I'm a champion for Western civilization. And yes, our...
Western civilization? You mean like with cowboys and saloons with them swinging doors and shit? Western civilization. It's a lovely idea. Yeah, I guess that. Does he even know what Western civilization is or means or where it comes from? Western civilization? You mean like the what was invented by the Greeks? So we need to walk around wearing our bed sheets? And asking what is truth and what is beauty? Oh, yeah, all that time. Socrates, what is truth? Socrates, what is beauty? Not once. No, never. Socrates, hemlock's poison. That? Can you imagine the Steve King, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual freak out if that man ever actually saw the Lysistrata performed in its original form, you know, with the women walking around with 3-foot strap-on dildos? Oh, that's not the one. No, that's not the Western civilization. Don't look, Ethel! But it was too late.
English language is a big part of it. It's a carrier of freedom.
Right.
Wherever the English language has gone globally, freedom went with it.
I just want to just go back at this one.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The English language has carried freedom. Huh. It absolutely did. I mean, when the British forces of the Raj were hollering, "Halt! Halt, you little wog! Or we'll thrash you within an inch of your life." Well, Gandhi knew they were just talking about freedom. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, the English language. I love me some history. Apparently Henry II of England, who spent precious little time there, and favored a castle at Chinon as his base of operations, spoke Latin and French fluently. Now, he could read a little bit of English. But, of course, this is a couple of hundred years before you even get to one not a prilly with the sure suit of the truth of march of terce to the root and bothered every vein and swish liqueur, which virtue engendered is the floor one zephyr seek with his sweet breath. And hell! That ain't easy to get through. No, the English of that time period, most of us can't read it or speak it because it sounds like a poor relation of German. How many of Steve King's asshole constituents do you think could actually sit down during a Shakespeare play and hear the language properly pronounced and tell the difference as to whether or not Hamlet was a tragedy or a farce? No, not so many. English is a big part of that. So what? He sent this tweet out in support of Geert Wilders. He wants the Dutch, he wants Muslims in the Netherlands to speak English? So easy to get lost.
One more time, just because it's that important. A Muslim American, an Italian American, a Christian American, a Jewish American, you do realize that they are all equal, right? They are all the same thing. We don't need babies from one of those groups more than we need them from other groups. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that it depends.
Why do you
on
pause
the
on a question like
families.
That, Congressman? What do you mean? What, it doesn't depend on any definition.
Because
you're either an American
you
or you're not.
An objective answer, Chris.
Yeah, but either a Muslim American, an Italian American, an Irish, Scotch, German American, which is what your roots are, either those are all equal things or they are not. What is your answer?
They contribute differently to our culture and civilization. There are moderate Muslims that are equal to, in all these categories.
I said
that you
a Muslim American.
There are
people
others,
who have
Chris,
lived here who are assimilated.
Their families.
Yeah, but there are a lot of
if
people.
God damn. He wouldn't say it. Because in Steve King's world, some Americans are more equal than other Americans. I think we better take a break because I can't handle the stack of morons I've got behind him without it. We'll go to calls when we get back. This is listener supported conversation radio. This is the horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm so glad I'm not one of those assholes that sends Steve King to Congress. You knew this was coming, right? Michael and Madison, you had this for the bumper. Ron and Raleigh, you had this for the bumper, didn't you?
I'm gonna know it, but I gotta get it.
It's a Fast Times at Ridgemont High kind of evening, I guess. We had the drop from Jeff Spicoli a little bit ago in the program, and of course Jackson Browne from the soundtrack and Somebody's Baby. I mean, that bumper just chose itself. So, and we need a really talented parody writer to use that tune. It's Somebody Else's Baby. Can't build a civilization with somebody else's babies. It's going to come quite as quite a surprise. Well, I mean, do you realize the implications that has about something for something like adoption? Steve points out, German American? Who'd have thunk it? I think I'd take off the American in his case. I can't say that because I'm of German descent. Hell, I got German in me. I got English, Scots. God only knows what else. One of these days, I'm going to buy myself one of those DNA testing kits and just, you know, get it plotted all over the globe. I hope I'm not as boring as I think I am. Jeremy, meanwhile, and this is a good question. Why can't we get video or audio of some crazed older white man standing and pointing at the KKK or a Nazi memorabilia or Confederate flags and yelling, "That ain't normal! It ain't normal!" You know, just like that fuck who was yelling about trans kids in bathrooms a week before last. Good point. Because you never see that. Never. Let's see. Let's run over and check out the phone lines where Scott is apparently done cooking dinner. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob.
And Punky is still with us, right?
Oh yes. I the main purpose of the call, one of them, is to reassure you that Punky is upright and above ground. He is not on the menu.
Participles can get you in such trouble.
Yes, I know. What I was trying to convey was the fact that he has his own little chef's hat and a little cockatiel apron that says "Kiss the Cook."
Does he have little cockatiel Crocs like Mario Batali? Mario Batali has Crocs. So he doesn't have cockatiel Crocs, but
we're working on that. He'll sit on my shoulder and watch me wash dishes or whatever. I don't really like him too close when it comes time for food prep, because cockatiels basically eliminate waste of one sort or another every 20 minutes. So I let him stay in his house, during the food prep. But anyway, you should just stop now, ring yourself a cowbell, because you had me at the reference to, I suppose, Greek women in antiquity walking around with 3-foot strap-on dildos. I mean, you know.
I'll take them where I can get them.
Just put a bookmark in it. All the eyewash and earwash in the world will not take that notion.
Well, I mean, it's true.
I know. But anyway, I that was a laugh out loud, a literal laugh out loud moment.
Just imagining good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Mrs. King seeing that on stage and just kind of leaning over. Steve, can we get one of those for you?
She would either be inspired or she'd be reaching for the salts. You know, the smell.
Well, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I mean, really, Steve, I'm tired of asking, is it in yet?
But, oh, Lord, what a world we live in. I've gotten to the point with people like Steve King. It's like, why even bother? He throws horseshit hand grenades by the fistful at established reality, and nothing that anybody says or does is going to dissuade him, nor is it going to cause people who buy into that nonsense, to change their way of being. It's like my life is too short to spend a moment's time worrying about that asshat. You know, right now the big thing for me is convincing someone or enough someone's to throw a big hairy wrench into this GOP Trump care thing, because that's the biggest load of crap that has come down the pike, you know. And you know, it is imperative that that be task number, or as they used to say in the Ford commercials,
job one.
Job one, exactly. You know, and as far as the cultural contributions of Colonel Harlan Sanders, I will say this. I long for a time when this country had its act together to the point that a 65-year-old fellow, okay, which Colonel Sanders was at the time, he, when the interstate highway came through and bypassed his little restaurant and service station in Kentucky, he sold the restaurant, and all he had left after he paid his outstanding debts was $105 a month Social Security check. So he decided to go in business for himself and franchise the Kentucky Fried Chicken patented cooking process. He decided to franchise that idea and that method to independent restaurants, as many of them as he could.
I can remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken was A, a treat, and B, delicious.
Oh, yes, I do, too. I do, too. But it only goes to show that in the mid-50s, when he took his $105 Social Security check and went out, struck out on his own to make a fortune, by 1964, he had franchised at a lot of places and ended up selling KFC, or as it was known then, Kentucky Fried Chicken, in 1964 for a cool $2 million, when $2 million was $2 million, you know?
Yeah.
Now they want to take away Social Security. So we no longer live in that great America. The message on the red hats notwithstanding, Trump and the GOP Congress, they are not about bringing about American greatness. No way, shape, or form. That's the last thing on their list, if it's on the list at all. So.
Well, I think you're right in many regards, and I'm simply made nervous by the people we have to rely on to stop this disgusting exercise in sadism. I don't know if you saw this or not, Scott, but Comrade Kumquat is going to Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, yes, because he doesn't like Rand Paul saying bad things about his.
But he's going to hold one of his Nuremberg-style rallies there. And, you know, I don't think he cares. And I don't know if Corey's still listening or not in the free state of Louisville, or any of our Kentucky Stan, Commonwealth of Kentucky Stan members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. I don't think he carried Louisville.
You know, I don't remember. I really, honest to God, don't remember.
And he'll be walking into one of my personal heroes, Representative John Yarmouth's backyard. And I'd be surprised if John Yarmouth let that go unnoticed. Because he was he was handily reelected. And I don't think, I hope, and this is what I was getting to a minute ago, the people that I have to count on, that we have to count on to stop this sadistic juggernaut, are people we would rather not trust. I mean, you and I have to put our hopes in Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, that he can somehow cobble together a coalition to stop this shit. Well, and here's the fun part. Here's the fun part, Scott. Rand Paul hates this bill because it's not sadistic enough.
Well, I know.
And over in the House, the so-called Freedom Caucus that says it hates this bill, because it's not sadistic enough. There aren't enough dead people in the bill.
Yeah, I guess 24 million over the course of 10 years is not enough for them. You know, at least uninsured people. Jesus. But the thing about it is, it is a rather unsavory bunch that we're pinning our hopes on. Okay, I'll give you that. But the idea in my mind is they may be the ones who will pull the brake on this thing. And that's, you know, maybe we'll have to take it in stages. Okay, maybe that'll be job one. And then job two will be figuring out a way somehow to cobble together something that will work or have a capacity for working for all involved.
Well, I mean, I think that figuring out a way the heavy lifting, everything's already been done on that. And there was considerable talk of it yesterday down in Welch. The answer is simple. In many ways, we're overthinking healthcare in this country because of the pernicious effects that the profitization of people's agony, misery, despair, and grim death has on the calculus. The answer is simple. It is Medicare for all. It is universal single-payer health care. End of discussion.
That's correct. That you'll get no argument from me. I mean, I've had Medicare for some time now because I'm covered, you know, because I'm disabled. You know, and by and large, I mean, it's not perfect. Hell, nothing is perfect. But it beats the hell out of, you know, living on a hot air grate because I, you know, went bankrupt from medical bills, you know, living on a hot air grate in a cardboard box or dead, you know. Given those two alternatives, even a flawed Medicare system as it currently is a better deal all around for me, you know. And, you know, but this, the people that run this country, it's sort of that thing that Winston Churchill said where, you know, Americans will do everything until they ultimately land on the thing that they should have done, which was the right thing all along. That was the essence of whatever that statement was that he made. You know, I just wonder if by the time we figure out and have taken all the wrong steps, whether there'll be enough people around who can cobble together the one right step that they should have done in the first place. That's the scary part.
And, you know, maybe to the extent that he was talking to people who hadn't heard about it before, maybe Bernie started that conversation in the hills and hollers of southern West Virginia yesterday. I mean, yeah, when you can get an underground miner to say, well, I think everybody ought to free health care.
Well, a lot of people wanted to discount Bernie in the 2016 election cycle, but you know, one thing that he did do is raise the consciousness of a lot of people and also get them active, which is downside more than had been done previously. And you don't unlearn reality. You don't unlearn truth if you have, you know, a few viable brain cells to bang together.
Yeah, but something I said to Agnes last night because I was she didn't go in. She stayed outside. For a couple of different reasons. But one of the things I said, yeah, wait till this tape airs and his bosses down at the mines hear him say that he believes everybody ought to have free health care.
Yeah.
I guarantee you some manager will pull him over and say, son, don't you know that's communism?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's not. Unless they've replaced O Canada with the Internationale up in Ottawa. I mean,
well,
no.
You know, ultimately, the trick is going to be if we can't rely on the current crop of people in charge to do the right thing, the next best thing, I think, is going to be keeping them from doing the wrong thing, or at least somehow getting whatever it is that they do to not be as injurious as it might have been had we not participated. And I know there's a lot of people out there who, you know, have thrown up their arms and said, well, screw it, nothing can be done. And I just refuse to believe that. Something can always be done, you know. And I don't, you know, I only know what it looks like. I don't know the mechanism to bring it about. But Trump will learn, as George W. Bush should have learned, that if you steal something, in this case the election, okay, you ultimately cannot benefit from ill-gotten gains. You know, they were all happy and light when the Supreme Court in 2000, December of 2000, ruled in favor of Bush and Cheney against Gore and Lieberman, okay? The people on the right were just dancing in the streets and beside themselves. They all had little boners. They were just thrilled.
You mean not like Lysistrata 3-foot boners?
No, they had teeny tiny boners.
Yeah, because I had a note a minute ago when you brought up the issue. I had a note from Asa who said, "Oh, thanks a fucking lot, Bob. Now I have to go home to dinner with the size of Steve King's penis on the dome. There ain't enough tequila in the world."
Now, see, the only hope for people like him is something that's can be purchased by mail or in a store, okay?
A big dose of fuck it all?
No, in nature, most GOP leaders have little teeny tiny micro dicks, and their little stippies are, you know, about the size of my little finger, you know? Not that I know from experience or anything, but I read a lot, okay?
So, yeah, I know, but, for the articles.
Yeah, for the articles. But anyway, I don't know where to go from there, but...
You kind of penised yourself into a corner there, didn't you, Scott?
No, I hate to end on that note, because the grand scheme of things gets curiouser and curiouser, which only leads me to believe we are definitely through the fucking looking glass. A friend of mine on Facebook.
Oh, we are all drinking strychnine at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
I saw something earlier today on one of my friends on Facebook posted something. Let me scroll down. It's very quick. It's just kind of a little graphic. This was a girl I went to grade school with back in the 60s in Catholic school back east. And she posted a little graphic that says, "I've never seen anyone who is so adept at deflecting the issues off of himself." And I commented, as Clarence the Angel told George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, "You'll see lots of strange things from now on." And that's pretty much where we are. So I guess there should end the lesson.
Yep, right here in downtown Pottersville.
But anyway, I just, among other things, I most wanted to assure you that Punky is okay. The worst it ever gets for him is if he gets too noisy and rambunctious, I will menacingly brandish a box of shake and bake for cockatiel in his general direction just to scare him. And I helped. It ain't fried, Mommy. It's shake and bake. And I helped.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that line came up on Saturday Night Live too. It's amazing that ad slogan from 30 years ago can show up on Saturday Night Live in 2017.
Well, you know, earlier when you were talking about the cold open, about the Trump battling the intergalactic aliens.
Yes.
When they did that line, I immediately thought of you, and I agree. Somebody on the SNL writing staff either is listening or knows somebody who's listening.
Hi, guys. Say hi, Scott. Say hi to the SNL staff.
Hi, SNL folks.
Send money.
Yes. But anyway, that's pretty much my 29 cents worth. And I'll let you go on to the next caller.
All right. Sounds good. Scott, I'm glad that Punky did not get fricasseed.
Oh, he's fine.
Yes, and we will talk again soon.
Although, let me close with this. if things get as bad as they could possibly get, I do have a plan B written out on a 3x5 card, hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar on my front porch. And that is, if it all goes to hell, I will feed the bird to the cat, and then I will eat the cat. So if anybody knows any cat recipes, let me know.
Well,
meow.
No, just no. We should have left that one in the mayonnaise jar, Scott.
Probably.
All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. Scott and Punky still among the quick out in San Diego. Poor Asa is suffering mightily out there. Oh, my God. The conversation has devolved into talking about Steve King's cantaloupe. This can't be happening. Are you new to the program, Asa? This stuff happens all the time. Much to, you know, sometimes it's not to my chagrin. Note coming in from Gerald. Going back to Steve King. Can't we stop talking about those people? No, we cannot. I refuse to let some racist fuckstick marginalize anyone because it makes them fucking uncomfortable. What a POS, Gerald says of Steve King. I mean, grade A, number one, USDA choice prime. Sounds about right. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob. Hey, Ron. The CBO said that GOP care will save over $300 billion over the next 10 years because of the savings accrued by not funding Medicaid. Paul Ryan believes that's a good thing. Son of a bitch! That's a good start. Yep, because, you know, working poor Americans are not worth $30 billion a year. They need to pull themselves up by their own goddamn bootstraps, participate in the free market, and help contribute to the year-end bonus of the CEO of some for-profit health care insurer so he can get his 24-karat solid gold potty or something. Right. So, other stuff for Moran Monday? Oh, and lines are open, by the way, if you want to jump in now. 304-574-8178. We had a few calls came in while Scott and I were talking. And 304-663-4676. And from anywhere on planet Earth, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. So that'll get you into the conversation. And let's check in. Well, hey, lo and behold, let's check in with Tracy and see what's going on. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Bob.
How in the world are you?
I made it back from Vegas in one piece. I actually didn't win any money, but didn't lose all of my money. So there's that.
Didn't have to ride back on a $500,000 Greyhound bus?
No, did not. And there's now two Cracker Barrels in Nevada. Go figure.
Well, that's two more Cracker Barrels not to go to.
I'm sorry. I like the Cracker Barrel. Those places that we're not supposed to go to.
You mean all is forgiven now?
Well, I did not know that we weren't supposed to go to the Cracker Barrel until it was pointed, because a couple of weeks ago they made an announcement out here that they're going to open a Cracker Barrel in Victorville, California. And I was posted on my Facebook page, and I was instantly told that I'm not supposed to go to Cracker Barrel. I'm like, God damn it. It's like, you know, how am I supposed to go to Chick-fil-A because, you know, I'm gay? And I'm like, then why am I not supposed to? Then I asked, well, why am I not supposed to go to Cracker Barrel? and said, because Cracker Barrel is racist. And I'm like, okay, I've never experienced any, because I didn't, you know, I didn't get that memo. I didn't get the racist Cracker Barrel memo. And somebody sent me an article dated, like about, I guess, 20 years ago, that Cracker Barrel was, had instances that they were mistreating employees and stuff like that. So why am I not, is that still going on? Is it?
Cause no, really apparently they made efforts to remedy things.
Okay. Because I really like the hash, I really like the hash brown casserole.
Hard not to. And the chicken fried snake is not to be sneezed at.
No, it look, let me tell you something. Because yesterday was the reason why we were in Vegas in the first place, because yesterday was Jan's birthday. My wife turned 63 yesterday. So this is our second year going to Vegas for her birthday. And she had a, she had such a good time that my wife actually drank. Not only did she drink, she got drunk. Anybody knows my wife does not drink, nor does she get drunk. And that shit was the, she, let's just say she comes, she came back to the room on the second escapade to tell me that she was looking for, she was looking for Batman and Rayford in Cosmopolitan City because he was going to beat up Robin.
Hoo-wee. Did you have to hold her hair later?
No, surprisingly not. I did not have to do the hair holding. So I was very proud of the fact
Then you got a win across the board. And let's see, Saturday night. So, you know, she was celebrating Purim like al fresco or something.
Right, right. So, you know, my Jewish wife was celebrating Purim. It's like, she, oh my God. It was funny, but we had a good time. I'm still battling my own mental health issue, demons thing, especially reading about this whole new, this bullshit healthcare or whatever the fuck that Trump is trying or whatever these bastards are trying to, you know, put off that, you know, this alleged healthcare bill. And I'm like, and one of the things that, you know, they're talking about getting, you know, it's about the, you know, for people with drug issues and mental health issues. Is 8 Live grand there, Bob?
Plum beautiful.
Between that and then, because, you know, I was kind of on radio silence over the weekend because I'm in Vegas. Fuck what's going on with the rest of the world. And I didn't watch the news or really pay much attention to Facebook. So we have that. You know, that's what I was listening to as we were driving into Vegas. But then, you know, like I said, I went into radio silence. And then, you know, so I come out of radio silence to hear you, what was this fool, this motherfucker, about the babies?
Oh, Steve Cantaloupe's King. Somebody else's, yeah. You can't advance Western civilization on somebody else's babies.
And of course, who was he being interviewed by?
Well, in that case, he tweeted it on Saturday or whatever, or Sunday, and then he was interviewed by Chris Cuomo on CNN this morning.
Right. And Chris Cuomo was trying to get it. He's like, well, what about the Muslims? But he didn't. Did he mention anything about the black people? Or was the Muslims and the black people supposed
no,
to
get it was, it, no, it was No, it was mostly about Muslims, simply because his tweet was in support of Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, who would very much like to hot up the ovens for all the Muslims.
Oh, God, okay. And him and then Kellyanne Conway with the microwave shit. I just...
Never going to look at my microwave the same way again.
You know... I just bought my microwave too a couple of months back because my gave up the book. So where do these people come up with? Do they sit in a room Is it like a, you know, is it like a Native American sweat lodge? Do they take the peyote and or LSD?
What? No, it's a white people dick lodge. It's a dick lodge.
A dick lodge.
Yeah, you know, what can we say tomorrow to prove that we're even bigger dicks than people thought we were before?
I think you need to give yourself a cowbell for that.
Thank you very kindly.
You have to wonder because I can't wrap my head, because it's like you can't go to sleep. We go to sleep every night, but we lay our heads down because we have to sleep, because if we don't get rest, then we'll wake up crazy at knee swoop. So we have to get rest. But then we wake up every morning to another, what fresh hell is this? You know, because...
Yeah, it's like stage directions in a play. Enter screaming.
Yeah, enter screaming. Every morning we wake up to what fresh hell is this? Because it just keeps coming. It never ends with these people. And I don't know anymore, because I mean, as much as I want to give up, as much as I don't know how much more Prozac, I don't take Prozac, I take something else, but I don't even know if there's enough antidepressant in the world to keep people going. And, you know, I was listening, like what Scott was saying about, you know, Medicare, it may not be perfect, but it's something. I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, it'll be 5 years in August that I had brain surgery. And the only reason I had Medicare, and the only reason why I signed up for Medi-Cal was because of the fact, because my Medicare pretty much covered, especially my doctor. My doctor is really awesome that I don't have a copay with him. Pretty much everything all my visits are covered with him. He doesn't make me do a copay. So I never cared about having to use, you know, get Medi-Cal. It wasn't until I had to have the brain surgery that I signed up, because, you know, hospital and anesthesiologist and fucking hospital. And, you know, Medicare only covers 80%. And the other 20% nut was going to come out of my pocket. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get Medi-Cal. And that was the only reason why I signed up. But it was, at least I had the fucking option. Because had I not had that option, I would still be paying for those bills, Bob.
Yeah, or die. You know, there's don't forget.
Or die.
Right. Well, you talked about there not being enough sufficient medication. I want to share something with you that... Brother Deacon Asa sent along earlier today. It's exactly on point. Stand by. Well, okay, wait a minute. Here we go.
Do you find yourself feeling depressed? Hopeless? Having trouble sleeping? Struggling with frequent panic attacks? Irritability? Constant arguments with family.
I know Dad did too. I know that.
Friends. Or even friends of friends on Facebook. Yelling at your phone or computer screen.
Unbelievable.
And the constant urge to pull out your hair. If any of these sound familiar, you may be suffering from TIAD or Trump-induced anxiety disorder. Impeachara may help. Impeachara is a prescription medication that may alleviate many symptoms of TIAD. Impeachara works on your brain's neurotransmitters and optical receptors, convincing you that Donald Trump has already been impeached. Not all patients have the same reactions, and results may vary.
Okay.
Side effects may include elation, the ability to focus on work and family again, and reconnecting with people you called ignorant fuckfaces on social media. Women that are pregnant or nursing should ask their doctor, as well as their state legislators, if they are allowed to take this medicine. MP Chara is not approved for children or adolescents under voting age and should not be taken by those in favor of the current administration, for it may cause thoughts of suicide or spontaneous bowel movements. In rare cases, people have developed a skin condition known as Cheeto face. Tell your doctor right away if you have thoughts of comb-overs or experience a reduction in the size of your hands. Before you decrease or stop taking MP Chara, make sure you have disabled instant news alerts on all of your mobile devices.
Things got pretty dark there for a while, but thanks to MP Chara, I've elected to be happy. Nice shot.
Talk to your doctor to see if MP Chara might be right for you.
Go again.
Also, do it fairly soon before you lose your health insurance.
I thought you'd like that.
Thank you. See, because it's like I do my best to try to be as happy as possible. I try, you know, because I try to look on the bright side. I am a Christian. I try to, you know, to reach in for my, you know, my deep inner faith and stuff like that. But you know, like I said, yes, you know, yesterday for breakfast, Jan wanted to go to Cracker Barrel. And we're like, cool. And so, you know, we're waiting for our turn, waiting for our table. And here comes this black guy with his grinning from ear to ear. And he had on his Trump Pence T-shirt. And, kind of how you were sitting in, you know, at the town hall yesterday, and I'm not going to say, because everybody in the party was looking at me, stared at me like, don't you dare say a word, right?
Right.
I'm not going to behave, but I'm just going to say, it took everything I had to say, are you on Social Security or Medicare? Ask people these questions.
Yeah, but see, that's the way this thing works. Okay. As I pointed out previously, and I guess maybe we need to sort of double down on it. The way this con works, Tracy, is they will always say, if you're currently receiving Medicare or Social Security, do not worry. Your benefits will not be affected.
But that's not true.
Well, for the time being it is, because this stuff all plays out over the course of a couple of years, because its purpose is to get them past the 2018 midterm elections without having any consequences.
Right.
Okay. And despite the fact that they spent 4 years, and, you know, Steve King alluded to it, we spent 8 years talking too much about race.
Man.
I know, but wait. So, and they called him the divider in chief. Remember that?
I'm on the freeway, and I couldn't text you because I was driving. But I was sitting there like, this motherfucker just blamed Obama. I'm so tired of that tired-ass excuse, divider-in-chief. Really?
But the thing is, their game is division. They figure if they, because as we learned in the election, older Americans tend to vote a hell of a lot more than the millennials do. Okay?
Yep.
It means something. I mean, and I don't know. Maybe it's always something that older Americans do. Maybe it's something you only figure out once you've had so much skin in the game ripped off your hide that you figure maybe it's about time you started voting.
Exactly.
And that's another one of those statistical things I'd like to see broken out. The number of people within that 48% group who couldn't be bothered to vote. I want to see the age breakout on that.
The age breakout on that. How many... You know, how
I want to see the 18 to 35 number on that.
And but, like, how old are you, Bob? You're 53,
four,
52, 53.
Four.
54. So you're a couple of years older than me.
But their goal is to divide so that older Americans won't get their Social Security or their Medicare affected, so they can say, well, you know what? I can keep on voting to make America great again. Fuck him, other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are counting on that division.
And I think I think Scott brought that up before as well, that that's what they're counting on. And you brought it up as well. They're counting on the these people who are like me. I'm getting Medicare right now because of my disability. And so they're counting on people like me because I've been on disability now since 2006.
Yeah, but see, you are not retirement age Medicare, so they might happily take it away from you.
Yes, happily. My disability, and see, since mine is mental, mine is permanent. It is a permanent disability. It is not a physical disability, so I don't know where I fall and how, you know, and I have a serious concern about that, and I think a lot of What's happening with me right now is you know, real concern that, you know, I'm finally starting to kind of, you know, I'm finally getting on the right meds. I have a therapist that I, you know, that I like and stuff like that. So I'm starting to kind of, you know, clear the fog. But what happens if these heartless, soulless bastards do what they want to do. Like you said, the only reason why, you know, Rand Paul and these, you know, all these other ones are fighting about this whatever the hell this is because it's not brutal enough. It's not, you know, there's going to be, you know, there's not enough people who are going to die. You know, get sick and they're not going to die fast enough.
Right, and it's okay if they do because they're not contributing to the anarcho-Randian fascist economic engine of prosperity anyway. So what use are they?
Right. So what, I mean, I still work. I just don't work full time. You know, I just did my taxes the other day. I actually owe, but I still have to pay. I have to pay taxes. And that really pissed me off because I really don't make that much money, Bob. And I actually have to write a check for like $600 to the government. And I'm like, really? I may, after taxes and after, you know, whatever deduction, I may, are you ready for this? Like $12,000 last year. Okay? And I owe $600 in taxes. Really? Really?
Yeah, because somebody's got to pay that, Tracy. Because we can't have Donald Trump. Well, wait a minute. Donald Trump doesn't pay. Somebody's got to pay that because Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes.
And all these corporate welfare people, like, you know, Apple and Walmart and all these corporations who, you know, make millions and billions of dollars and ship all their money overseas. Do they pay any taxes? One of the things that Bernie was talking about, all these damn loopholes, and if they didn't pay their fair share, what we could do with that money? With infrastructure,
paying taxes. Look, do you remember during the debates when Hillary accused him of not paying taxes? And he said, and that makes me smart.
Because I'm smart.
Yeah, in other words, paying taxes is for the rubes.
This is for the stupid. In other words, for the people who voted for him. So you do realize, and see, this is one of those things that kill me about the people who voted for him. You know, all you taxpayers, he called you stupid for doing what you're supposed to do as American taxpayers. You're doing that's what you're supposed to do to keep this country moving. You pay your taxes. But he called you stupid for paying your taxes.
And you know what? In his eyes, he was telling the truth. It may be one of the few truthful things that he ever, subjectively truthful things that he ever actually said on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
He wanted their votes, not their friendship. He wanted their fear, not their respect.
Right.
And their rubes. I mean, Tracy, how many times on this program Have we talked about the three commandments of W.C. Fields?
Oh, yeah.
You can't can't cheat an honest man.
Nope, you can't cheat an honest man.
Never give a sucker an even break.
Nope.
Don't smarten up a chump. I mean, you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting an MBA from Harvard, or you can take that shit to heart because it's the same thing. That's the predatory capitalist model.
Well, it's the same thing about these are the same people who P.T. Barnum got for a quarter for this, you know, this way to the egress.
The very ones.
You know, it's like there's, and again, people are going to believe what they want to believe. That's what a con man is for. That's a con man's main objective is to make people believe what they want to believe. The people who voted for him wanted desperately to believe. And this is me trying to, you know, understand, you know, what do you call it, economically what?
Oh, the economically insecure? You mean the Klan?
The Klan. Ever so desperately that he was going to bring back manufacturing jobs and coal. 50 days and 51, how many days now? The occupation and how many days now into the occupation are we?
What, 51, 54?
54. Any signs that those jobs are coming back? Now, my question is, when we get to day 100, which is what, in eight, what is that, like April, May? When we get to day 100 and those jobs are not back, what is going to happen when the jobs don't come back, Bob?
No repercussions at all.
But it'll be a blame Obama moment, right?
Or absolutely. Absolutely. Or it'll be Democrats who kept him from getting his cabinet in place fast enough.
Right. Those job-filling regulations that he's getting rid of. Isn't it amazing that those job-filling regulations didn't, all these jobs, the economy was growing with all those job-filling regulations? You know, fresh air and clean water.
Well, you know, you've got to have those regulations create jobs too. But we can't, you know, no. We can't be talking about that. By the way, I am now reminded from three separate sources in the chat room, in email, and let's see, Les on Skype, Anatole in the chat room, and Steve via email. Let's not forget Leona Helmsley. We don't pay taxes. Only the little people pay taxes.
Forgot about Leona. Is she still in jail or is she dead?
Oh, I think she's dead. But there's, you know, underneath all of this, we always talk about tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. For the wealthy, wealthy, wealthy.
I don't want a fucking tax cut.
No. No, they're for the, you know, tax cuts are what the rich deserve.
But
there's this, and we all know how it is with me in math, okay? But I got this one down pat. Unless something's changed in the non-Newtonian universe. If I divide a dollar by two, I get 50 cents. If I divide 50 cents by 2, I get 25 cents.
Yeah.
If I divide 25 cents by 2, I get 12 and a half cents.
Yeah.
If I divide 12 and a half cents by 2, I get 6 1/4 cents.
Yeah.
If I divide that by 2, I get 3 1/8 cents.
Yes.
If I divide that by 2, I get 1 9/16 cents.
Okay.
The number's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yes.
But you will never get to zero. You cannot divide your way to zero.
No, you cannot.
So the question here is, why won't the Republicans just come out and speak the truth and say, we don't want the rich people to ever have to pay taxes again, God damn it. No taxes on the rich. All the rest of you schmucks pay the taxes. They don't have to pay any. Because that's, you know, they've been talking this tax cut horse shit since Reagan in 1981, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been dividing and they've been dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing. And ultimately, they're going to get to zero, but the problem is that they still have to have enough money in the federal treasury to pay for all of those rich people's defense contractors.
Right. And they have to have enough money in the federal coffers to pay for their health care and their pensions. And the Secret Service, you know, taking care of melanoma up in New York.
Yeah.
I just
And 9 golf vacations.
Because, you know, 9.
Right.
I try not to get myself worked up because it doesn't really do that much good to get worked up because it's just stupid. But then again, it does help alleviate some of the trauma of the day because, you know, it helps, like when I'm listening to you, like today, I had one of those things. I had to go get my car inspected last week because it's time for the things that I have to, you know, because of, the things I have to do as a cab driver, because we're regulated, the things that, you know, Lyft drivers and Uber drivers don't have to do because they're not regulated. I had a little ding in my windshield. I had to go get fixed, and then we have to have cameras in our car. And then I had to go to the airport and do all these things. And it annoyed the fuck out of me because I'm watching all these Lyft cars, they don't have to do all this stuff. I had to get new tires and
right.
I had to do this and I had to do that because, you know, I'm regulated and to make sure that my car is safe. I have to do this inspection once a year, every year.
Right. You got to do that because you are a common carrier and there are laws about common carriers. In fact, you are strictly liable, and that's a very, very, meaningful legal term. I presume you are in California, strictly liable as a common carrier for injuries to your passengers.
Yep, and if I get into an accident, I had no idea until I got my car inspected. My tires were fine, but say I had got into an accident. And it was a bad accident. And I got somebody's attorney who said, well, her tires weren't right up to par. That's my ass.
Yeah, because the purpose of the regulations is to make the public safer and to protect you against potential lawsuits caused by unsafe situations.
Exactly. That is why I have I have a camera in my cab. It used to only do video. Now it does video and audio. Jan and I had to watch it. She got a complaint, which was bullshit. It was somebody complained that one of the students in one of the cabs got out of the seat and was attacked by the student, right? It was bullshit because we have video in our cab. And Jan wrote back and said, no, it didn't happen. See, the camera not only protects the students, it protects the drivers as well.
Right. And see, that's regulatory and it protects you. It protects your passengers. But guess what? You get in an Uber, you get in a Lyft. Those regulations don't necessarily apply and you do not have those protections.
No. It's like, for example, if you get into an Uber vehicle, like say you get into an Uber vehicle and you leave your purse or you leave your luggage, right? You have no, there is no nobody to answer to. And you leave your wallet or your purse or what have you in my, in a taxi, there's a camera there to see you leaving your purse or your wallet or what have you. And conversely, there's also a camera to show that you didn't leave your wallet or your luggage or what have you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So again, it's there as protection. Because to a lot of people, this, you know, ATM machine. And yeah, we have people who are litigious. And they see, ooh, I can sue because, you know, I could on purpose run out in front of this cab and try to get, or stop on purpose. Or, you know, so I could get rear-ended when there's no reason whatsoever to stop. But I have a camera in this car to say, you know, nope, there was no reason for you to stop. You stopped on purpose so I could rear-end you, so you thought you would get paid. So, but because of these you know, like you said, regulations are there for a reason, to protect me and to protect the public.
Yeah.
And these people you know, number 45, when they say job-killing regulations, there's a whole group of people downtown that are employed. They're called the LADOT. They are employed. Why? Because of regulation. And there's, you know, because of Uber and Lyft, a lot of these people are losing their jobs because there's less people to work. Because of there's going to be less taxis and less people and less people and more work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's the same thing. Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, the whole thing.
The gig economy.
Right. The gig economy. It's like when I go to the grocery store. I refuse. I don't care how long the line is. I absolutely refuse to use do you guys have the automatic checkout stands?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, I hate them.
I won't use them. I don't care how long the line is, Bob, because every time I use one of those things, that's those things. You talk about regulations of job killers. Those things are job killers.
Well, sure, and on a different scale, and we've talked about this a little bit before. One of the things that I went down there prepared to talk about was, you know, can Cole come back? And the answer is no.
Did you get a chance to speak on yesterday?
Pardon?
Did you get a chance to speak yesterday? Because I didn't hear if you did or
no,
not.
No, no, no. No, I didn't.
Of course not. You would have made sense instead of they had, I heard about the cat waddling idiot, you know, by Jesus. And I'm a Christian, so I can say that shit.
Oh.
Yeah, I tuned into the show just in time.
Been a while since I've been around demons being cast out.
Twice they bumped somebody on the panel for that bitch. Twice.
Well, once. I mean, she had her conniption in the green room, and a well-meaning black lady came over and laid hands on her and called down victory in Jesus and cast out the demons.
Was it my mother? Oh, that's right. You were in West Virginia. You were in North Carolina. I'm sorry.
And I didn't say anything. You know, I didn't make my Homer Simpson noise. I was respectful. I just looked
but
at my colleague and said, I'm going to the restroom.
It was hard, though, wasn't it, Bob?
It was real hard. But
especially when you have real concerns to talk about.
Well, we did. Everybody did, of one kind or another. I mean, I'm not being a diva about that. I get 3 hours a night to talk about every kind of concern I've got.
But not on national television.
Well, It wasn't even so much about that. It was about telling local people what was being done to them, because they've never heard it. They don't know. It was about telling people in that room what was being done to them. But they never mind. I mean, it just didn't. But the thing is, reducing in the mining business, reducing employment, and in just about every other major industry, reducing the need for workers is to use that phrase Scott was using earlier, job one. So, okay, mm-hmm. The day shift at Golly Mountain Coal Company needed 75 men, and they were men, and boys, to take care of the day shift coal mining, because they were using dynamite, picks, shovels, and mine cars pulled by draft mules. And that took a lot of people doing a lot of hard work. Well, along come inventions, things like continuous miners and longwall miners. And the worry of the United Mine Workers Union was always, are our members still going to have jobs? And that was the source of a whole lot of conflict. Well, now, as you've heard me say a million times, if you've heard me say it once, it takes about 10 to 15 guys to take down 5,000 acres of mountaintop removal site over the course of 5 years. Okay?
That's so ridiculous.
Their goal is zero. And as Snork pointed out to us, and I think Robert in Australia did as well, that future is now. There are giant open pit surface mines in Western Australia now, where they use the same great big humongous trucks that they use on a mountaintop removal site. I mean, the tires themselves are as tall as my house.
Wow, I see shit that tall coming down the highway out here.
They're generally not allowed on the road. But the thing is, here, they are still being driven by human beings.
Well, not on the road, but like on, you know, the,
out in,
what is the,
yeah, out in, out
you have the,
out at these Rio, the, out at these Rio Tinto mines in Western Australia, they are all robot trucks.
No, when, you know, what is it, the wide load, I've seen shit that big.
Yeah.
Going on the highway, on the wide road, things,
yeah.
Like, holy mother of God, that thing is huge.
Well, in Western Australia now, at these Rio Tinto mines, they are all robot trucks, and they're operated by some dude in front of a monitor with a joystick and a keyboard 600
playing
miles away in Perth.
Basically playing video games.
Yeah, for millions and millions of dollars. I mean, they're not getting paid that. That's just what they're producing for their betters. And that will eventually come to Appalachia.
And riddle me this, Batman. Riddle me this. At what point? I mean, do you ever think that the people in your neck of the woods are ever going to figure this shit out?
Well, they haven't figured it out so far because they voted for Trump, because Trump was going to bring back coal. And even if he brings, I mean, West Virginia produced more coal than it has in its history in the early aughts, and did it with a tenth of the people that it used to take.
You said the early aughts as in like 1908?
No, I mean... like 2007, 2008.
2008. Speaking of coal and mountains and stuff like that, because I haven't had a chance. What's going on with the Outsiders?
Oh, it's good. It's good. Every Tuesday night, and so I go and watch it afterwards. And they've got several Jim Dandy storylines going on.
No, I just haven't had a chance.
Well, that's cool, though, because that means you can sit down and binge watch.
Yeah, that's basically what I plan on doing, because my latest obsession has been one of my favorite movies of all time is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah.
Because, well, FX is doing...
Are you watching that Betty and... See, I refuse.
Why?
Because it's got Susan Sarandon in it.
Oh, okay. Point taken.
And I don't want to do anything to contribute to that Sparkle Pony's well-being whatsoever.
So, point taken. And I understand it. And the only reason why, and I totally, you know what, and I forgot that she pissed me off, so Miss White Privilege Supreme. She did so much damage with the whole thing with her and Jill, you know.
Oh, I know, and then, no, the one that pushed me over, though, was after the election, when she tweeted that picture of a lotus or something, and said, The beautiful lotus must rise from the mud.
Wait! I didn't get that. I don't know. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, she was saying, you know, it was okay that Trump was elected because, and it's that same stupid, drop dead, ignorant argument that these pitiful little fools make from time to time. That, well, you know, if we just elect somebody bad enough, the apocryph will come along.
She's one of those.
Oh, yeah.
See, again, she's saved by her privilege. She has money. She's part of a union. She's a member of the Screen Actors Guild. She has money. She has health insurance. She won't be touched by, you know, what's
and she is white. And
white,
so,
white.
And so, you know, nothing's gonna touch her. Nothing that Trump does or wants to do, short of a nuclear holocaust, is going to touch her. Now, on the other hand, I got a story for you. I mean, you've got a whole lot more people of Hispanic heritage in California than we do here in West Virginia.
No shit.
Yeah, I mean, we got lots and lots of white people. We've probably got a few more black folks. We got more black folks than we got Hispanics. But between Hispanics and Asians, you know, they're fighting over a tenth of a percentage point.
Okay.
So lo and damn behold.
Oh no.
On, last week, the ICE, you know what I mean by the ICE, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement.
What happened?
Who are terrorizing the living shit out of people where you live.
Oh, yeah. On the real.
Came into West Virginia where we don't have diddly.
What the fuck are they doing in West Virginia?
For Hispanics.
Yeah, I thought they were thinking out here in LA and Florida and New York. And
they raided a little bit of nothing Mexican restaurant in Beaver, West Virginia called El Mariachi.
Oh my fucking God.
And three of the employees at El Mariachi were detained by ICE.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And it turned out they were here illegally. One of the men had been here illegally for 20 years and is married to a USA American woman.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One woman from Raleigh County, Nora McMillan, said, I think they should stay. I mean, the ones that have been here, the ones in the restaurants deserve to work here and shouldn't be sent back. What do you want to bet she voted for Trump? There's a 68% chance she voted for Trump. And you know why she said they should be able to stay? Well, they're doing jobs that people don't want to do. Then there was Denville Wood, D-E-N-V-I-L. And we, and, you know, and white folks sit around saying, them black people sure do got some funny names.
Some weird names.
Yeah. Denville Wood said, I think it should be done. It needs to be done. A lot of young folks need a job, and why can't they get that job?
But they don't want it.
Because, you know, there's a line around the block of young teenage West Virginians just waiting to clean the toilets in a Mexican restaurant.
And bust the table.
Denville Wood went on and said, if they're going to be here, they need to be legal. That's the way I see it.
I hate people.
And this, by the way, is, I think, I've had lunch with Dr. Bill there. Agnes and I have had lunch there.
How's the food?
It's great. It's the same cookie cutter Tex-Mex menu that all the other Mexican restaurants have.
It's not beef, rice, shrimp, tacos, though, right?
It ain't anywhere near close. I mean, you can't even get a real tamale in these places.
I gotta get you out here one day, Bob.
We gotta get my innards fixed so I can enjoy a meal.
Oh, that's right. How are you feeling, by the way?
I hurt most every day, and I'm scared to death.
Have you gotten anything? I know you said that you were trying to get an appeal on what was happening with your health insurance. Any reprieve on that?
No. And my consult with the surgeon is on the 20th day of March. And it's so funny. I was talking about we'll put out a crowdfunding campaign so we can put solar panels up to take the horn off the grid. Shit, I may have to put up a crowdfunding campaign just to stay alive.
This is, you know, when about back to, and now we're back to, you know, full circle, back to, you know, health insurance. And back to what Scott was saying about, you know, it may not be perfect, but it's keeping me from, you know, having to have a grate, sleeping on a hot air grate. And I was just thinking, like, I posted something the other day, you know, and there's only so many freeway off-ramps and so many signs to go around.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, how many people... And this, what saddens me is just the fact that you understand what I meant.
Yeah, I do.
That there's only so many places where people can stand outside with a sign. And are we the only country, Bob, that a person can lose everything just because they get sick?
Not the only country. I mean, that happens. That can happen in, like, well, other countries too, but no countries that consider themselves part of the industrialized Western civilization.
And then this bullshit that they say, well, you know, in Canada, people can die waiting for, you know, because they talk about the socialized medicine and blah blah. You know, that lie.
Yeah, I've been thinking about going on a speaking tour up into Canada and having an attack and see if we can get it done up there.
Right. See, there you go, Bob. That's what you should do. Go on a speaking tour in Canada and get sick there. It'll be cheaper. I remember when I was in France and I got sick in France.
Reckon I could get it done if I got sick on a speaking tour in California?
Yep.
course, I'd probably come out there and it'd all just settle down and it, wait, where is it?
It's just, you know, I'm so tired of people having, you know, having to choose nowhere. And there's nowhere, and no one should have to choose between eating or buying their medicine. No one should have to choose between keeping their lights on and paying rent. No one should have to choose between childcare and going to work. It's one thing. Okay, do I keep my cable on, or do cable is not that important. But these things, these life or death decisions, because Republicans or just politicians in general. We should not still be having to make these decisions in 2017, not in this country, not when there is so much money in this country. No one should go hungry in this country. No one should have to decide between health care. No one should have to worry about where they're going to lay their head every night, especially if you have a job. That I think that's what pisses me off more than anything, and more than anything in this world, it's that, especially veterans, no one that served this country and came home should ever and should have to worry about a place to sleep, especially if they came home less than who they were when they left. And then, you know, we have this a five-time draft dodger whose wife is, you know, recoils at the thought of him touching her, and we're spending $30 million.
Yeah, but still liked him enough to go on TV and talk about what a Kenyan Muslim Negro that Barack Obama was. Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, she gets zero sympathy from me.
She gets no sympathy. The bitch gets absolutely no sympathy from me whatsoever. But she's getting, we have to pay $30 million a month for this bitch, but, you know, we don't have the money to pay for, our army members, you know, soldiers can't have childcare for, you know, their kids.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that, because, you know, melanoma don't want to, I have a question, speaking of melanoma, is she the first lady? Just the thought of saying that makes me throw up a little in my mouth. Is she the only first lady that has not moved down to D.C. after her husband became, you know?
I think that's probably true. I mean, you had some bachelor president. Well, our only bachelor president was James Buchanan, and his boyfriend was still in D.C.
Shut up.
You didn't know?
We had a homosexual
Yes.
Whoa. We had a fagula.
Yes, James Buchanan. His boyfriend's name was Rufus King. Rufus King was the man for whom King County, Washington was originally named. The city council took steps to make sure a few years back and say, well, we're changing that. It's now named for Dr. Martin Luther King and Rufus King. And who knows? They might have been kinfolk, because Rufus King was a senator from Alabama.
Whence came
Dr. King's family?
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus was so... over the top.
That
his Senate colleagues referred to him as Nancy. And he and James Buchanan shared a bed. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go with those old stereotypical epithets. They just called him Nancy. And
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Oh.
You're a lesbian. I guess you've got the license to do it. I don't.
No, but wait. I have to tell you this. Did you ever? What was that movie? Bernie with Jack Black, with him and Shirley MacLaine. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I don't think so.
It was based on a true story. It was based on about the guy who killed this old woman that he was he was in Texas or something. And you have to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's hilarious. But anyway, it was kind of like they had the Denzians of the town that was saying that she deserved to die, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a couple of, well, we thought he was a little light in the loafers anyway, right? And Jan, who is the ultimate lesbian, and she's like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, wait a minute, you've been gay as long as I said, weren't you gay in the womb? And as you don't know what light in the loafers mean, so yeah, so, you know, so no, but yeah, no. So we had a president that was gay. Wow.
Well, I mean, we're pretty comfortable, but you know, it was also a different time. DC was a kind of a shabby, seedy, not real well developed place. And in the early days of DC, in the early days of DC, there was such a dearth of rooming houses, boarding houses, hotels that members of Congress would shack up and sleep in the same bed together.
Oh, damn.
In point of fact, and it was that way. It was that way too out on the frontier, when Abraham Lincoln would follow circuit. You know, the circuit judge is a circuit judge because he rode circuit through several towns, communities, county seats. Well, when Abraham Lincoln was practicing law out there, he'd ride circuit and he would sleep in the same bed as another man.
Couldn't do that now. Because, you know, that's homosexual.
But in terms of, there's a lot of people who think James Buchanan was our nearest to being outest gay president. And of course, he was an awful president because his inaction and his indecisiveness and his willingness to mollycoddle the South led to secession and led to the Civil War. Now, the question about first ladies.
So you mean Obama wasn't our president? Not so sure.
Oh no, James Buchanan was sure. He was sure that he just loved him the South. Probably had a little bit to do with Rufus King being from Alabama.
You know what, Paul? See, this is why.
But to answer your question, Tracy.
What was my question?
Is she the first lady not to move into the White House? Oh. Thomas Jefferson was a widower by the time he got to the White House.
Didn't he have Sally Hemings? Was Sally Hemings still around?
Yeah, and she was back on the place. Mm-hmm. He took her to Paris with him when he was Secretary of State, but. It was a mite much. There'd been some. See, he got Sally Hemings right smart during the election campaign. So she had to kind of not be seen. And Dolly Madison kindly took over the first lady duties for Jefferson. She is not. Melanoma is not our first foreign born first lady. That distinction belongs to the wife of. John Quincy Adams, and the difference being that she was a brilliant woman, and the other difference being that she never took money in return for taking off her clothes. That first does belong to Melanoma Trump. She is the only first lady the United States has ever had who took her clothes off for money.
But then, you know, remember Michelle Obama was, you know...
Well, yeah, I mean, she wore dresses without sleeves, and she was really a man.
Oh, I missed that. Wait, hold up, stop. What?
You missed that, did you? 8 years, you missed all the references by God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals about Michael Obama?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, she was a guy.
Michael?
Yeah.
Well, you know, because who was it? Was it Sean Hannity that said that none of the Republicans ever made fun of Michelle Obama or Sasha?
No, she gets no. Melanoma gets no passes.
No,
I mean, I wouldn't cross the street to see her, or to channel my inner hillbilly. I wouldn't pee on her to put out a fire. Now,
well, that's what I just said.
Now Donald might pee on her for some other reason, but I wouldn't pee on her to put out a fire.
Does pee like to be pissed on, or does he like to do the pissing? Which way?
Apparently, Donald likes to watch him pee.
Okay, so he likes to watch them pee.
That's why there's that one, you know that one naked picture of melanoma where she's standing there and it's all art-like and she's got her hand down over her cooch and maybe I think one on a breast or something, and the shadows behind her
right. Looks
like she's peeing. That or she's got a tail.
She's pissing. So yours is... But remember,
I mean, it's just a trompe de wheel. I mean, she's not really, but it looks like.
But see, remember, she's bringing grace and beauty and charm back to the White House because, you know, Michelle.
And litigation. Don't forget litigation, Tracy, because she's still all upset because she said so in a deposition that a news story in some paper in New York that accused her of actually having been a hooker before she married Donald, she said that story was deeply damaging to her because it damaged her ability as First Lady to make oodles of money off of being First Lady.
Oh, speaking of hookers, what is this about Donald getting, you know, name brands and stuff in
China?
You mean
they've registered Trump brand massage parlors, Trump brand spas, yeah.
And you know, for human trafficking. Because last I checked, that's usually what you get when you have, you know, massage parlors and, you know, brothels.
Love you long time.
I know you got to go because... Oh, was my challenge met on Friday?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. So did I say Viva Las Vegas $25?
That was the Viva Las Vegas $25 challenge, yes. It was met, and in point of fact, we got a little bit out front for this evening, and then lo and behold, I said, let's try to keep going because sometimes we'll lay a goose egg, and we got 7 minutes to go in the program, and we raised precisely zero.
Oh, okay, people, right? Because I know you know, when me and Bob started talking, people act like, you know, people don't have to contribute. But I'm going to leave it on this note. Now that I know that the $25 challenge was met on Friday, so let's do, in honor of, you know, the magic microwave. So let's do a Moriam Monday magic microwave challenge. Try to say that five times fast.
Magic microwave microphone challenge. Hey.
Yay. Hey. So $25 for today. To get today, you know, so we can get a little something in there for the last 7 minutes of the program. So I'm going to let you go, Bob, so you can at least talk that up. And it was all, you know, now my spirits have been lifted.
I'm glad. You guys are a tremendous help to me too, and that's no joke.
But I like the idea of you going on a speaking tour in Canada, so because we can't get you to Europe, but we could probably get you enough gas money to get up.
If they'd let me in, you know.
I'm saying that. Well, you could get in there faster. You don't have any telling me, so you can get into Canada, sweetheart. But, you know, and there's so many people up there that let you stay. I'm saying that half jokingly, but you don't might have to go to Canada to get your innards fixed. I'm just saying.
I know. I just have this idea of crossing into Windsor going, oh, my belly!
They're just falling over. Crossing, you know, like when people have fake accidents and they just fall out of the car screaming whiplash.
Yeah. We probably ought not be talking about this on the air, Tracy.
No. We're just joking.
Agent Fred. Agent Fred, ixnay on the LXTay to Anita K.
Exactly. Anyway, love your face, Bob. You guys come on, try to make get the man some money. We gotta get him back. Be something in the coffers for the next few weeks or whatever. Anyway, take care of yourself. Try to feel better.
All right. So is that a $25 magic microwave microphone challenge?
Moran Mundy, magic microphone, Mundy microwave, whatever I just said, you said it again. I can't say it. I don't talk like a, you know, you talk prettier than a $20 whore, Bob. I can't. I got a hell of a list. Oh, I can't do that.
You know, just in your honor, I will play that clip. Hang on.
God darn it. You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm making up this
Tracy, you have a lovely evening, dear. And belated happy birthday in Purim to Jan.
I will tell her as soon as I get home.
All right, you be good now.
Bye.
The one and only lady cab driver, Tracy, calling from somewhere on the 6 and 7 eighths, heading for the, trying to merge onto the 9 and 15 sixteenths. And so, thank you, Tracy. Thank you for the challenge. If it gets met, that would at least help make up what we didn't raise Friday for today. It is the Moran Monday Magic Microwave Microphone Challenge. Ouch. I'll not say that a bunch. Out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks for the conversation. Thanks for the emails and the Skype messages and the tweeting and so forth. Thank you very kindly. Back tomorrow with Titanic Tuesday. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky and Steve from Georgistan, doing yeoman moderating duties in the Horn chat room. Steve, our utility designated chat room moderator. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.